You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
COVID-19 has had a significant impact on all facets of our lives, including the way that we work and our work-life priorities as well. Globally, workplaces are navigating trends such as the Great Resignation, quiet quitting, and the Great Recruitment as well. But in Aotearoa, New Zealand, the Great Return to Work is still being negotiated, providing employees and employers an opportunity to redesign the workplace in ways that benefit both. Now, one common theme in the employment trends to emerge during COVID-19 is a shift in the value people place on their work and their lives outside of work. But has this gone too far? Are workers being selfish, or is there a self-first sort of mentality as in putting their non-work preferences ahead of workplace productivity? Or are they prioritizing personal well-being in order to be better employees? And are these global employment trends meaningful in the New Zealand context, where small and medium-sized companies, or SMEs, dominate the business landscape? All very interesting and, I guess, important questions. I spoke to Wayne McPherson from Massey University on this matter, and I started off by asking him about a survey they did on this very issue. Here he is now.
What we found from the survey, we spoke to more than 600 people working in SMEs. These people had been working before COVID, and were still in their same jobs. And we found that most of them have more flexibility than pre-COVID, pre-2020, so that 2019 period and before, and that they'd also had, they were able to manage their work-life flexibility for what it's worth, that, you know, the demands on their lives now with the way we're living in this current environment of whether it be COVID, post-COVID, you know, they're able to manage it. But also we found that they want more flexibility. Two-thirds of the respondents want more flexibility in their work life. And then we also asked them what flexibility meant to them. And we were quite surprised. We thought flexibility might have meant something along the lines of more time for family, more time for their own personal hobbies or whatever it might have been. But the most dominant reason for people wanting, you know, flexibility in their lives was for their own personal well-being. Of course, personal well-being, they also alluded to that being that, you know, the mental state, that they're able to handle life with all the, you know, the difficulties or the complexities, I guess, that we're seeing today with, you know, crises and what have you. People are really now, I think, thinking more about their mental well-being, you know, through that whole personal well-being regime that, you know, we talk about in the media and that a lot. I think also that we're also seeing that employers are responding at the same time. We have been talking outside of the survey to employers about the results, and they're keen to come to the party. That we have, they acknowledge that we have, they've seen a shift, we've seen a shift through the survey results, that employees are wanting more flexibility. In the past we spoke about work-life balance, work-life integration, we of course now have moved more flexibility, where employees have more autonomy in their jobs. They're able to make decisions about where they work, when they work, how they work. And of course the employers are listening to this. So from there, we find we're in a time now where negotiation is probably necessary. Rather than employers asking employees to come back to work, to work those 40 hours, that, you know, we've moved into a new environment of, you know, flexible work styles and workplaces.
Yeah.
That's where we're sort of looking. So it's really now, you know, the workplace, you know, will people return to that previous workplace that, you know, that was it 5 times 8 hours, 40 hours a week? I think that's a no, that employees are demanding something different. They've had a taste of, you know, working from home. The technology supported them. Yes, they've had anxiety. Yes, they've had kids at home, but the kids have gone back to school and people have, I guess, managed. The companies have also accepted and provided them with different tools. You know, PCs at home, PCs at work, for example, There are different platforms that people are able to work on today. Before, it was all just, you know, working on the work computer. Now people are collaborating online with the likes of Google Documents, etc. So people don't necessarily have to be in the workplace. But while you give someone autonomy in how to work, where to work, so they're not necessarily on site anymore, we also find that the people want belonging to their organisation. They want to be a member of, you know, their company, of their staff group, their team group, etc. So it's not about people becoming consultants and working individually as independent workers, but really still being part of a team, but having that choice of where, when, and how they work. And of course, employers are listening to that. So we find ourselves at a time where, you know, the workplace they will be returning to is effectively unnegotiated, unplanned, and untested for what it's worth. So, you know, the employees have had a taste, the employers have also given them some leniency, but when you give a child leniency, you know, can you discipline them thereafter? And it's something to be really discussed between the employers and the employees. And so I think now is a really good time for that.
Do you think that now that there's this great return to work, that employee flexibility has become a lot more common?
Yeah, absolutely. The results show that. You know, more than 50% of our respondents have said, you know, they have more work-life flexibility, that they're able to manage that, and that they want more. But we've also found that companies have changed policy, not just temporary policy, but actually permanent and more formal policy to allow for work-life flexibility. We've also seen a similar, about 40% it was, of our respondents have seen their peers, their colleagues leave their organisation because the organisation did not give them the flexibility that they were demanding. So it's not all about one group telling the other group, no, this is the way it is. There are also the employees who have the confidence to walk. You know, they're stating, they're making a demand, signalling about the new environment they're looking to return to. And of course, if the organisations, the employees are not listening to this, and they actually are leaving. And in the current market, you know, the labour market that we have now, the borders are closed, there is a shortage of, you know, workers available, then the labour, the employees have the upper hand at the moment, and they're able to move to organisations that are offering flexibility, whereas maybe in the past, the employers had the upper hand as to, you know, ways of working. So, you know, there definitely is more flexibility out there, and I think there's more to come at the same time. We're seeing with some of our organisations, you know, speaking to some of the employers, the business people locally and also nationally, that they are making adjustments to the likes of shifts. And this is not just employees working in offices, but also those people working online work where, you know, they might be down to, there was a stated 5 times 8-hour shifts per week. They're actually moving those to 4 times 10. So employees are working longer days but less days per week. You know, maybe this is a more productive way to work. It's obviously been negotiated between the employers and the employees to shift you know, these particular work schedules in those cases.
I guess the big question is, how can employers accommodate a better work-life balance? And I guess shift away from the thought that workers are just being selfish or they're putting their self first, and I guess implement better, you know, personal well-being practices within the workplace.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. I think when the employers need to show, if they're not already doing so, to show that they value the employees and, of course, the employees' well-being. It's becoming quite a common conversation today about well-being. We talked about physical well-being in the past. We talk about mental well-being today. You know, we live in a complex world. You know, there are crises. There's the cost of living. We hear about what's happening overseas with wars and what have you. There's a lot more information around today, so there's a lot more people thinking about different aspects of life and how that influences them. So organisations need to really listen more to what their employees are saying, because if you think about it, the employee-employer, it's a contract, it's a transaction. Yes, you know, money is paid for hours worked, for production output, for example, but it needs to go beyond that. That, you know, employees, and of course the employers themselves, are human beings. They have a work life, but they also have a home life. And the employees are taking more responsibility for that, I think. They're realising that they're able to, and international trends are stating that. We see in the news and that employees are taking, you know, they're working 4 days a week. There were pilot programs overseas, both in the UK, Canada, and the United States, just to name a few countries. New Zealand's done the same. There are companies here that are testing the four-day week on full pay and assuming, you know, 100% productivity. And the initial results are showing that the employees can do that. The question is, you know, are they happy doing that? Are they able to work that lifestyle, that work style that's not under pressure? So the employers listen to the employees, you know, what they have to say, and of course make the resources available to make any change that's necessary, because it's going to be quite resource intensive to make some of the changes. We have to realise that New Zealand, you know, we're running about 97% of our companies are SMEs, employees under, you know, 50 for what it's worth. A lot of those businesses are micro businesses, and such small businesses, maybe less than 5 or 10 employees. So they might not have the resources available to provide flexibility. So if it's not just flexibility in, you know, hours or location or how people are working, there has to be something else that the employers have to give to the employees. Just, I guess, tap into that personal well-being aspect of the workers' lives. And that can be around providing greater autonomy, providing access to skill improvements, building community, for example. People want to belong, and that's a very fundamental human need as such, that, you know, if an organisation can provide effectively a family situation for employees, then, you know, maybe work-life flexibility is just part of what employers can offer employees into the future working situation and, you know, the way we work.
That was Wayne McPherson from Massey University speaking about how employers can improve workplace flexibility.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.